please note that we have two sets of minutes, one from our regular meeting on February 10th, and thank you, Dr. Adams, for getting the second special meeting in for March 4th. Is there any addition or correction? Seeing none. Motion was made by Ms. Perry and seconded by Mrs. Henry. All in favor, please signify by saying aye and push your button. Five yeses. Thank you very much. Okay, board and committee reports and activities. We've all been very busy, so if we just share a couple of things, that would be lovely. Mrs. Henry.
Apologies. Give me 1 second.
Sure. Do you want me to move and come back to you?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not prepared.
Mr. Randall?
Just two things very lightly. I actually traveled to Sacramento with the Orange County PTA group, including some of our parents within this district and then with our feeder district, and actually our advocacy chair, who's pregnant to be from Edison, who is a current senior there, was also able to attend. And so a lot of really good information about the budget, which we have known about, but we also had an opportunity and met with directly with Assembly Member Trita to share some of our concerns about that maneuver from the governor and how that's impacting our budgets. And so it was really helpful to be able to not only hear from our community and their experiences at the feeder schools and, you know, across Orange County and within our district, but also to be able to advocate for the needs that we definitely need. It would be nice to have a more consistent budget. And then secondly, I just really enjoyed the Ocean Views theory of knowledge exhibition yesterday and took a little bit of time to decompress after, because the level of thought and care about how do you even construct knowledge or understand it was absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. I have three, but I promise I'll be very brief. First one is the PVC meeting on February 25th, but I wanted to share. As you know, they set the date for their classified celebration. I wanted to let you know that the theme this year, because I'm sure that there are at least two people here who will be interested in this, the theme is Tuesday Night Fever. So if you're of that era that most of us are, where that has some meaning to it, you might want to look through your closets to see what you have. Second one, at the VLAP meeting this past week, Huntington Beach High School, one thing that happened, they shared a new, it's not a program, but it's just an emphasis that they have developed and put into place. It's called Huntington Beach High School Empathy, and you may have seen it or may not have seen it, but it's intended to help encourage students to consider options that are available to them after high school, and they have developed 9 emphasis areas, and I'll just read them real quickly. In business and design, human service, nature, sports medicine, pictures, creative writing, journalism, and visual art. So they are encouraging students, if they think they have an interest in one of these, they can take, I believe it's 4 courses in this, and they get a course at graduation. So that was new, and I thought it was a very interesting approach to encourage students just to sort of look at what's available to them. And finally, this morning I attended the trade up fair at Huntington Beach High School. It was so different this year. Last year it was raining, and they had to hold it in the gymnasium, so this year it was outdoors. There were so many local and non-local groups there, but from both the trades and from industry, and also their Ed Foundation was meeting at the same time. I wanted to let you know that they are alive and well and doing great things. That's my report.
Thank you. Yeah, I also attended the Ocean View High School Theory of Knowledge exhibition yesterday. It was really wonderful. I thought it was really great, and you can tell why the OCDE gave the innovation grant of $525,000 to Ocean View High School. It was really great. And, you know, it ties in a lot with the second thing I wanted to mention is, you know, we had a meeting with Laura Crowe, and it was basically on, you know, the training on how to support what our teachers and administrators are doing to support student achievement and engagement, and the most effective ways of doing instructional practices. And I thought the theory of knowledge and what the students had done and when they talked to them was such a wonderful example of, you know, just sort of a hand in glove of what, you know, we're trying to do across the curriculum. So it was really great. Then, you know, lastly, it was just we went to a lot of events and all of the TEP parade events, or TEP events were really fun, including the TEP parade. Principal Sable is a star, by the way. And that was great. Everybody on the playground was, you know, cheering for her and loving her, and that was really great. And so that is my report.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your indulgence. There's so much going on, I didn't want to replicate anybody else. Plus, I couldn't remember all the things we've done over the last month. Three, though, that stand out for me. Last week, we were at Marina High School for the Courage to Remember, our annual, this is the second school for the district this year, for our Holocaust remembrance with Mr. Silverberg. He is getting on in age, so I understand we're going to look into trying to do some televising or recording of him to help his daughter continue to do these. And the students were certainly entranced, and the venue being in the cafeteria rather than the gym, I think, is a big help for him and for the students. It just felt a lot more intimate. The second one was a meeting with Trustee Cassery and the PTSA, and the difficulties, we have declining enrollment, and they have declining involvement, and the challenges that they're having in getting membership and getting enough participation at the sites. When you get to high school, everybody's so much more involved in the booster groups that their kids are in activities with, so PTSA is having some difficulty with that. And the final thing is I was interviewed end of last week by the research department from CSBA regarding CVRA, how we were before CVRA and our transition and just our experience. And they're gathering research and interviewing a number of recent transitions to CVRA. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I did a number of things that my colleagues have done, so let me try to just highlight a couple that we didn't talk about. One was last night at the CPSA at Fountain Valley, at Edison High School, was just a superb speaker on vaping. And I checked in with Dr. Spelman to make sure that all of our campuses are actually having this person out. His name is Stephen Lambert, and he comes from the North County Department of Ed. And one of the shocking things to me was, and I'm not a smoker, so I don't know much about how many cigarettes in the cafeteria is, but anyway, I figured probably 20, I don't know, maybe only 18 or something. But he said, how many packs of cigarettes do you think this is, and how many hits of cigarettes do you think that a student gets, or a child or person gets when they vape? And I guessed 40, thinking it's a little high, 400. No wonder it's so difficult. But Dr. Spelberg has assured me that we have this available on every campus, and that this particular person, Mr. Lambert, comes out. He's very connected with students, and he's a parent, and he knows how to talk parent language and not be threatening to students. So it was really very, very informative. Other than that, I've been doing a bazillion things, but I went to the ACMA Awards this year, and our very dear Autumn Garcia got the very first classified of the year award. So, I mean, what a marvelous honor for Edison High School and for our classified employees. And finally, I went to Fountain Valley High School, where, as you'll recall, last year we had a presentation from our students being fearful that the theater program was gone away. it's not gone any place. In fact, this year, the students actually decided what they were going to do. They directed it. They did three scenes from different plays and chose the students who were going to be the kids doing it, as well as the rest of the whole thing and all of the students and everything. So it's not gone away. It's thriving, which is wonderful. So thanks to Fountain Valley for making that happen. Okay, we'll move then to our student board report. Ms. Bartel, would you please share with us what's going on at all of our schools?
Yes, thank you. Good evening. All righty, let's get started with Fountain Valley. On Friday, March 6th, Fountain Valley Sadie hosted Day of Dialogue with the help of their FB Senate program. Speakers with diverse and impactful stories gave presentations to bear and staff and students. And then their pep squad and dance team had a successful competition season. Their national competitions, all their teams ended up medaling. The varsity cheer team placed third, JV second, and varsity song third. The dance team is the national champions of large hip hop. They placed third in extra small contemporary, and their soloist placed in the top 15 of 99. And then at Edison, they have several upcoming events to keep their students engaged, including unified volleyball this Thursday, a Patrick's Day activities next week, a 3-on-3 March Madness basketball tournament, and Java Night at the end of the month on March 27th. They also are proud to share that this has been an amazing, outstanding season for Edison's athletics and performing arts programs. Their varsity cheer team placed first in both medium advance and game day at USA Nationals, while placed and was crowned national champion at USA Nationals in advanced varsity palm. Charger Band and Color Guard were named California State Band Championships Division 1A champions. The varsity surf team won the Sunset League Championship. Varsity girls soccer also captured the Sunset League Championship, and varsity boys soccer repeated as Sunset League champions. Been defeated in league play for the second consecutive year. Griffin had a lot of wins. And then at Huntington Beach today, students learned about various career industries and pathways during the annual trade-up event hosted by PTSA and the Career Center. And later this month, it's HB's GIVE program, or GIVE team, Wellness Center and MTSS program are collaborating to host Wellness Week, which includes a week of activities focused on mental health and healthy living. And back at home at Marina, ASB showed up bright and early before Valentine's Day at 6 a.m. to set up Valentine hearts around the bowl. ASB members created a heart for every student on campus, and we posted them on the bowl and around the bowl just to spread love to all the students on campus. And then on Friday, we have Mochella. It starts at 6 p.m., and there's going to be student bands, DJs, and a silent disco. There will also be food from TK Burger and Kona Ice, as well as an art exhibit, games, and face painting. Anyone is welcome to come. And then at Ocean View, the girls' soccer team had an incredible season this year. They advanced all the way to the CIF Finals, where they faced Segerstrom and later competed in the state finals against San Diego. Both games were held at their home stadium, where many people came to show their support. The energy in the stands was amazing, and they are incredibly proud of the team's hard work, dedication, and the outstanding season they had. On March 6th, they also hosted their annual talent show. The event featured a variety of performances, including stand-up comedy, a magician, and a talented pianist. Several campus clubs also participated by selling food and snacks for the audience to enjoy. In addition, an art display showcased creative pieces from students across campus, highlighting their hard work. And at Westminster, on February 19th, they hosted its annual Tet Festival with lots of games and activities for students to engage with the Vietnamese culture. And moreover, they had their VACC perform dances during lunch for everyone to enjoy. And last week, they participated in Kindness Week, where students were able to participate in spirit days and lunch activities to spread kindness to each other. And then last but not least, at Valley Vista, on Friday, February 27th, their campus was transformed into an Orleans Jamboree. Pupils and guests reveled in the finest Cajun cuisine and jazz music in their culminating celebration of Black History Month. On February 26th, Jonathan Lloyd helped lead a band of cross-curricular students to the OC Holocaust Museum after studying the history and literature of the tragedy in the classroom. And that is all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bertou. And now we'll move to the presentation from Edison High School regarding SIBACS. Edison High School staff and students will provide an overview of the SIBACS program, which is the Center for International Business and Communications and Studies. It's a program that started many, many years ago, and many of our students have been successful and are out there doing their own businesses, so we're anxious to hear what you folks are up to. And many of us have participated in judging at the end of each school year, so we'll look forward to seeing you then too. So please come forward if there's enough chairs, have a seat, or pull some up.
Right. Well, we'd first like to get started by thanking the board for allowing us this opportunity. Thank you, Dr. Cash. That would help. My name is
your classes. We've often been in them, we judge them. They're great fun. We're just people.
Yeah. I think now I have the confidence to
You've
tell you.
You got it, good.
SIBACS is a place for all people in need of.
Even us. Go for it.
Marketing skills. And we are here today and to you why SIBACS is curating you for the graduate. Somebody who is. Career ready. Build in technology. Professional and collaborative.
SIBACS is known for its two nationally recognized teaching and
autism. It gives you honors credit in all of your social studies classes.
SIBACS is a 4-year program that's built for social
students. The biggest takeaway is that SIBACS is here for students who want to take education into their own hands. They're putting extra work on their plate to learn.
New SIBACians come fresh into the program, and their first gate is freshman takeaway projects. In this project, people learn not only international marketing, but also team cooperation with SIBACs. But most importantly, we're learning about culture and business. For example, in my project, we were taking a local franchise, Mama's on 39, a restaurant I'm sure you're all familiar with, and moving it across the seas to South Africa. Not only did we have to navigate the logistical and marketing challenges, but it also taught us a foundation to work as young entrepreneurs.
Did you skip one?
Oh, there we go. By the time for their sophomore year, students are finally getting into the groove of the public school. We are ready for their on-ramp project during their sophomore year, focused on industry research, product design and development, and manning their own social media campaigns. I myself got to work with Igloo Coolers, which was so fun. I got to meet Minnesota, which they created services. And overall, in that project, I really learned how to become a business speaker, professional writer, and overall cooperate.
The junior year, we kind of flipped things on its head. The first 2 years, we were in groups of 3 to 4, now the SIBACians are all by themselves. It may seem this is the year we take our future into our own hands. We complete a 10-hour-long mentorship here at the Field of Archer. I personally mentored a feature film director, as you can see on the screen. We had access to a post-production audio recording studio where I realized that feature film directing is there. We also learned all about resumes, cover letters, and there we go. And finally, when you get to that senior year, you are taking off those training wheels from all of the learning you've done with other businesses, starting one of your own. You create a plan, your own social media marketing strategy, and you're creating any service or product that you want to sell to other people that you are passionate about. As you can see on the screen, this is my business that I'm doing. I'm creating Lego stop motion advertisements or promo videos for local businesses and organizations. And on a business trip, we just went to New York. Where you actually get out the business world.
Allow me to take you 2 years back to my sophomore project in our little mock pitch that we have for you.
Bum 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 ba da bum bum. 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 Bum bum ba da bum bum. Bum 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 ba da bum bum. Bum bum ba da bum bum. Bum 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 ba da bum bum.
Looking for something to cool your vanilla ice?
Well, we've got the product for you, the solar powered cooler, or the SPC.
Eco friendly way for your drinks, for a hot drink.
Aside.
What are we talking about when we say SPC? It is the solar powered cooler we will be introducing to Igloo. The reason we focused on a solar powered cooler is because Igloo's number one goal is to be the most eco friendly cooler company in the world. And obviously, a solar-powered cooler would do exactly that. Not only that, but the customers would enjoy a cooler that they can charge while they're just playing out in the sun or at the beach, and then come back to for late-night drinks or however they like.
Now let's dive into some features and benefits of this product. So we have a slideable top. You're moving the cooler around. You just have to slide it off and pop it wherever the sun is. Then we have a quality battery that allows for the Igloo to conserve energy, so you can keep your drinks cool even in the night when the sun is gone. Then we have attachable hooks that allow it to be portable. Then, of course, our solar panels. And the renewable materials that the cooler is made out of allow the product to really bring and drive sustainability. And, of course, it's American-made.
No problems. We don't want to highlight these, but we want to show you how we're going to be solving them. Starting off, we have a lack of brand visibility. With such a creative and unique product such as the SPC, we're going to be diving into a very niche market where there's not going to be a lot of knowledge around this product. This can be easily solved with some promotion that Charlie's going to be talking about. Second up, we have competition. Everybody is here to break through the cooler market. It's been over 100 years of unchanged ice coolers. We're here to bring it sustainability, friendliness, and portability with our chargeable pack. Third of all is our struggle with sustainability. Now, sustainability is our number one goal, but it does come with some costs. It costs more to get the materials, and it's going to be harder to find them as more eco-friendly materials are scarcer to find. Thankfully, once we accomplish this, we will be on the rise with more customers and more profit as eco-friendliness is on the rise.
Yes, I know we don't like looking at those problems, but don't worry, we got solutions.
In terms of that problem with lack of brand visibility, with our marketing, we are going to make it very eye-catching and prominent so that when people go on social media or wherever we're marketing, they will see Igloo and it will stand out, giving us that edge over our competition. Goes into our next problem, and of course, as I said, the detailed marketing and also that brand confidence that Igloo has the solar-powered cooler will get customers flocking in to come and buy it. And finally, with our goals in sustainability, yes, sustainable materials can be a bit pricey, but we plan on buying in bulk to keep those costs down for us, and also give the customers a low price to buy the cooler at. They really get a really good experience.
Thank you, Charlie. And of course, those solutions mean we're going to have a universally appealing product. But we want to maximize our minimum, so we're going to hone in on a specific market. In order to do that, we produced our own surveys, which we sent out, and here are the results. Almost 60% of consumers say that they would be more interested in buying an eco-friendly product if it has the label, whereas about 30% of people said that it depends on the product, and we can work on that, where there's possibility a promise for us to deliver here. While less than 10% people said it doesn't make a difference. Even then, there are plenty of other attractions that our product has. To get more specific and exclusive, we asked people, do you prefer a cooler with or without ice? And the overwhelming majority of people at 80.2% said that they prefer without ice. And why not? It's a hassle. It's something that we got rid of our product. Our product not only follows the market trends, but these statistics show that it will be successful, and hence we will be delivering the product.
Now, going into our target consumer profile, who exactly are we going to be promoting to? That picture right there, that's going to be my friend Dave for this. My friend Dave values family, environmentally friendly, conscious products. He's also going to be hanging out in the environment, products, making sure that he's leaving no trace when he's hiking, camping, and doing all these days. When he's going there, what is he bringing with him? A cooler! Yes, you got it! On the dot! So
social media behavior, using the loving family products and outdoor content. I know I see outdoor content on my reels every single day. Retailers he's shopping at, REI, Bass Pro Shops, Dick's, Big Five Sporting Goods. Don't worry, Igloo is already in all of those stores, so it's super easy to shimmy in our SPP. Influencing factors such as design, add-ons, and impact on need is what Dave matters most. Don't worry, we have so many add-ons that you're going to be finding out new things about our cooler a year after need. His pain points, he hates warm drinks just like all of us. I hate a flat soda. Unreliable cooling and not durable. Thankfully, the SBC is the most durable cooler that Igloo has ever made. Our demographics, who is Dave exactly? He's just your friendly neighbor. He's middle-aged, he has a beard, likes going camping with his dog all the time.
There are two things that Dave and all successful and exceptional businesses can agree upon. It's that public perception is just as important, if not even more important, the actual product itself. It's the way we present our product to the world. And what makes this product so unique? The first thing you might notice about it is that it's green. Why is it green? It's green because it's eco-friendly. Why is it eco-friendly? It's eco-friendly because it's Igloo. It's a brand that's delivering on its promise. When you see this cooler, you will see that it is a brand name that's committed to sustainability. And hence, we will form an audience, target market, something to conquer, a piece of the market that we will take all the share. And in advertising diversity, we will make sure that anyone can see it. Perhaps Dave will be scrolling across his phone one day, and he'll see his favorite outdoor content maker choosing one of them. And Dave will say, hey, maybe I should get one of those for me, for my next fishing trip. And of course, he'll bring it out on his next fishing trip. And then years later, his son will remember, my dad had that green cooler. He was the type of guy who had that green sustainable cooler. That's the type of guy that Dave is. And that's how we build a brand. That's how we build something that goes forward and remains going on and on and on. Perception is everything, and we're going to help you utilize perception to the advantage of this product.
Let's take what we know. This SBC, the solar power cooler, is going to be the next big step for Igloo in its pursuit of being a more environmentally friendly company. And I think that's something we all can learn from Igloo.
Bum 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 bada bum bum. Bum 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 bada bum bum.
Now it was really nice to really break the ice with you guys with our really new and inventive product.
How we want to drive climate change down and the temperatures of your drinks too.
It truly is the coolest cooler on the market.
Yes, Dave had a problem, and yes, we solved it. Now Igloo can check out the profit. Dave revolved.
We would like to add on that these have really made it an incredible experience for us. For me personally, I came into high school with a passion and not knowing how to frame it. But this specific program has taught me not only how to frame it, but to create my own perception of the world. And it's helped me with college applications, it's helped me with discovering it. It's really a wonderful time.
It's really heartwarming for me to talk about this, but when I got into high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but my first sure was the fact that I was going to be joining SciVax. And I can say with like full confidence that it's been like the best decision that I've ever made. And I just really want to thank my teachers for allowing me to get out of my shell.
Yeah. SciVax and of course these amazing teachers over here have really taught me that I can be creative in the business world and I can actually have fun with the work and the passion that I am interested in, and I can find something that works for me. And as you can see from the beginning of this presentation until now, SciVax has taught me confidence. It's also brought me a skill set that I'm going to bring with me for the rest of my life. I might not be going into a business, but I'll be making money. The things that I've learned here are going to keep me grounded in SciVax for the rest of my life. Well, I'll be grounded with my best friends.
Thank you, and why don't you introduce your teachers to us? Well, we know your teachers. Why don't you tell us who they are? We've been there with them, but tell us.
This will be fun. All right, let's start with freshman year, the GOAT, Miss Barrow. And then we have our Mr. Bammer, who was our freshman history, geography teacher, number one Mexico City. If you know, you know. And then, of course, sophomore year, we had Miss Carson, who taught us English and helped us through our sophomore project. Mr. DiStefano, unfortunately, is not here, but he is our history teacher for sophomore year. So, a lot of life tips from Mr. DiStefano. And a lot of barbecue tips, too, if any of you guys are into grilling or any of that, that's the guy. Yeah, and then junior year, obviously, Mr. Broncar, the best English teacher. I'm sorry, you guys are all the best. All the best. All the best English teachers, I promise. And then another history teacher that wasn't able to make it was Mr. Boone. Such a funny guy. Really good teacher, and really have fun with us. And, yeah, finally, our principal, obviously.
Oh, Mr. White.
Yeah, Mercer loves Mr. White. You can talk about him
a
little
bit. Me and Mr. White are good friends. He's helped me with my college applications. We've had many meetings. Giving me candy every single time I've gone to his office. Greatest principal ever, and I can't believe I only got to spend 1 year.
Yeah, these Cybax teachers are actually what makes Cybax what it is. This program wouldn't be anything without their sacrifice and what they do and what they teach us. So we are really thankful for you guys. Round of applause!
Has Igloo marketed your SPC yet?
They did make a iceless cooler right after, so I don't know.
Yeah. You guys have a patent?
Oh,
yeah. Did you patent this?
No, I did not. I did
not. You should, yes.
We probably should,
yeah. This was great. And another thing while you were talking about it, influencing factors, if I had one of those and was at the beach, I'd be great because you wouldn't be getting sand in your cooler. Because of the top, so. But anyway, this was wonderful.
Thank you guys so much.
Love your enthusiasm.
Any other questions or anything? Because otherwise, I'm really going
to take it. Just, this is great. We love hearing from students, and it makes everything that we do, and all the meetings we attend, and all the things we go to, it makes it all worth it when we hear you guys.
But it's so impressive. I mean, not just the beatboxing, but like the actual work that goes behind it. And I've seen the senior presentations. Like, you all are set. So thank you to our teachers for doing that and setting them up for both career and academic success.
So if Dr. Ogata wants to invest in this, who should she talk to after our meeting?
Honestly, all of them.
Yeah.
I'll take cash right here.
We have a Venmo.
Yeah. I'll
come back to order, please? And this is why we're here. So thank you very much. As we come back to order, let me just say that there are no yellow cards tonight, so there'll be no public communication to the board. This time we'll have the superintendent's report. Dr. Ogata.
Sure, thank you very much. I know how busy we all are. We always say that we call March Madness because there's so much going on. And I just want to send some advice to our staff and students to take care of yourself, exercise, eat well, and rest, because we have a few more months before the end of school until we walk across the age. So be sure you do that until we hit. Rocky reminded me we have another month until spring break. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. Okay, at this time, we'll have a public hearing regarding the consideration of adoption of a resolution to increase developer fees. The public hearing is now called to order. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to the issue of developer fees? We will be increasing them, assuming that this passes. Seeing nobody coming forward, the public hearing is closed. We will vote on this matter within our consent calendar unless a member of the board chooses to pull the item from consent. CSBA Delegate Assembly. I'd like to go ahead and call on Mrs. Henry, because you probably know the delegates the best of all of us. Mrs. Henry.
Thank you, Trustee Castry. I just wanted to let the board know that we have seven seats to vote for, and there are seven incumbents. However, as things happen, and this is a repeat of last year, you'll note that under the list, there are five incumbents with two write-in votes, and the two write-in votes are also incumbents. And I do have to speak to Mr. Stone from Tustin Unified. I won't belabor this, but he should be on the ballot. There were issues at CSBA. He sent me all of the emails that he had sent and had five emails that received no response. And it's very specific that it is incumbent upon the candidate to make sure that their paperwork is in, and he did send requests to see if his paperwork was in, and the responses were incomplete, and one of them was just bizarre. So in my opinion, he should have been on this ballot anyway. So my recommendation would be to vote for the five incumbents within the ballot and the two write-ins. And that would be my motion, and so I'm going to make the motion. And so I'll read the names out just for clarification. Carrie Buck from Placentia Yorba Linda, Carol Crane from Newport Mesa, Katie McEwen from Irvine Unified, Dina Miller from Braille Linda Unified, Barbara Schulman from Saddleback Unified, Jonathan Stone from Tustin Unified, and Anne-Marie Randall-Trejo from Anaheim Unified.
Thank you very much. There is a motion by Mrs. Henry and a second by Mr. Mandel. Is there any further discussion? Any other nominees that should add to this in terms of either a substitute motion or an amendment? Hearing none, let's vote on this motion.
Thank you.
Five yeses. Thank you very much for clarifying all of that, Mrs. Henry. Hopefully next year is the date that we're right, because it's been 2 years in a row now that this.
They've heard about it from me.
I'm sorry?
They've heard about it from me.
Why am I not
surprised? They'll hear about it again at the next Board of Directors meeting.
Yeah. thank you for representing us so well.
Thank you.
It makes a difference up there. In terms of the next item, it's business item number 5, and I would ask Mrs. Green to please come forward, Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, and Mrs. Green is going to present for us a status report on the fiscal year 25-26, a second interim report, and the district's financial condition. Thank you very much.
Good evening, President Castry, trustees, Dr. Agata, and staff. Thank you for the opportunity for me to present the second interim report. Tonight we will discuss the financial cycle timeline, the school impacts to our budget, the multi-year projection, and the certification of our current. This slide shows where we are on the annual financial reporting cycle. We are currently at the 2025-26 second interim report. The second interim report includes financial information since our adopted budget through January 31st, 2026. Revised projections for the remainder of the fiscal year and impacts for a multi-year. We will look forward to attending the Governor's May Revised Workshop in May, and the next financial report will be in June with the 2026-27 adopted. Fiscal impacts. First, Opposition 98 minimum guarantee. The Governor's budget's revised estimates for the Prop 98 minimum guarantee across the three-year budget window, which includes last year's 24-25, current year 25-26, and next year 26-27. The revised levels increased by approximately $21.8 million from the levels that were adopted back in June of 2025. Notably, the Legislative Analyst's Office estimated back in November that the current year guarantee would be approximately $117.8 million, which is $7.7 billion lower than the Governor's. The difference in the estimates is mostly because, unlike the Governor's administration, the LAO assumed that recent revenue gains from artificial intelligence will not sustain into throughout 2026-27. The LAO cautions that a significant downturn could reduce state revenues by tens of billions of dollars, and the Prop 98 guarantee would decline about 40 cents for each $1 of lower revenue. Let's keep that in mind. Health and welfare, you know, costs have increased by over 11% on average for 2026. We will continue to plan for similar increases for the next subsequent years. I just wanted to highlight that our district is one of very few districts that do not have a cap on health and welfare costs. Declining enrollment. We use a third-party demographer for enrollment projections. We are projected to continue on a downward trend for enrollment. This year's enrollment declined by 455 students compared to last year. We are projected to decrease by 260 students in 26-27 and by 263 students in 27-28. Deficit spending. I'll go over the district's multi-year projections in the next few slides, but you will see that our expenditures are higher than our revenues, which results in deficit spending. Some of the deficit spending is intentional for us to spend down our prior year restricted one-time funds before the expenditure deadline hit. But it is an area that we have to focus on. So the district will be proactive in reducing excess spending in areas that least impact student learning. And for COLA, cost of living adjustment, I'd like to bring back this COLA slide from first interim presentation back in December. So here on this slide for COLA, again, the top row percentages illustrates the fluctuations in COLA over the past year for 25-26 COLA. You can see at the top there it started at 3.29%, and as you can see, it landed at 2.30% over the course of the year. So the 26-27 COLA, following that trend, so it started at 3.02%, and then back in November, the LAO estimated the 26-27 COLA to fall around 2.51%. And then at the Governor's budget in January, COLA landed, he's expecting at 2.41%. So that 2.14% going from 3.02 to 2.41% is a reduction in revenue by $1.2 million in each of the out years just from that change. So we'll see how COLA lands in May at the Governor's May revise. We'll see how it goes. Expense changes to the general fund. So our current year budget, since first interim, has increased a bit, not too much though. We do adjust our budget daily. Let's see what's changed with the general fund budget from first interim to second interim. And I'll be referencing only major changes and rounding amounts. Looking at changes to revenue, the LCFF revenues decreased by $31,000 since first interim due to a slight decrease in the district's unduplicated pupil percentage for UPP, which includes low-income students, English learners, and foster youth. First interim was based on preliminary CalPADS data, and then at second interim was based on certified CalPADS data. So there's a slight reduction. Federal revenues increased by $713,000 due to an increase in comprehensive support and improvement for CSI funds for Valley Vista High School, as well as slight increases in entitlements for Title I and Title IV. State revenues increased by $1.7 million for adjusted allocations for Prop 28 Arts and Music in Schools. Home-to-school transportation increases, LCFF equity multiplier, again for Valley Vista High School, and the restorative practices grant for Ocean View High School. Local revenues increased a bit by $244,000. This increase is mostly due to another one-time allocation for the Student Behavioral Health Incentive Program, I call it SBHIP, as well as increases to the Kaiser Permanente Thriving Schools Grant, funds for dual enrollment, as well as local donations. Now looking at expenditures, certificated salaries were increased by $1.2 million. This includes increases for teacher extra hourly pay, arts and music coaches, substitute teacher salaries, as well as additional counselor position. Classified salaries increased by $433,000 due to budgets for classified extra hours, classified substitutes, and adjustments were also made to vacant positions. Benefits were decreased by $1.5 million for adjustments for employee health and welfare elections, as well as some vacancies and some other adjustments there. Book supplies and non-capital equipment increased by $394,000 for instruction-related books and supplies, which totaled $306,000, and then the remaining increases were for maintenance and operation expenditures. Services and other operating expenditures increased by $841,000. Those were for service contracts. And capital outlay expenditures increased by $3.8 million for turf replacement and roofing. Other ALCO had no changes from the first interim. These were the revisions to the 25-26 budget from first interim. Multi-year budget. This slide represents our current and multi-year budget. The first column gives the budget name. The second column represents the first interim budget. The third column represents the second interim budget. And the fourth and fifth columns represent the second and third year of our multi-year budget. Looking at the second interim, or the third column over, let's review the changes. The beginning balance remains the same at $84 million. The changes to revenues were already discussed in the prior slide. So our second interim revenues totals $262 million. Expenses were also discussed in the previous slide, so the total expenses are $282 million. The fund balance is the revenues less expenses. Our expenses are greater than our revenues by $20 million. This is known as deficit spending, where we're continuing to spend some of our restricted one-time funds before the expenditure deadline. And again, it's an area that we will focus on and to reduce. Ending balance is the beginning balance plus the fund balance. So it's next year's beginning balance, which is $64 million. The components of the ending fund balance include non-spendable, it did not change, at $75,000, and that's our petty cash fund. Restricted balances increased slightly by $208,000 to $8 million. That's due to increased restricted funds. Committed funds, we increased it by $4 million as funds were being expended for technology, compensated absences, legal services and long-term debt, we made that adjustment. assigned funds decreased to zero due to us paying the first payment of the CSEA vacation balance payout for hours over 200. And then the counseling program's been including year two for 2026. Economic uncertainties is a reserve, and it's at 3% of our expenditures, which comes to $8.5 million. And the unappropriate amounts are unencumbered one-time funds used to fund our reserves, and that's $6.1 million. So our reserves are at 5.17% for 2025-2026. Looking at the multi-year budget in the last two columns, just a few highlights. Again, with the revenue, COLA, once again, currently is at 2.3% for 2025-2026. As mentioned earlier, for year two, it was 3.02%. Now we're decreasing it down to 2.1%. The year three was at 3.42%, and now it's decreased to 3.06%. Thus, we see a reduction in COLA for both subsequent years. Revenues are also reduced due to our projected decline in enrollment needs. Expenditures in year two and three, we see a reduction in expenses due to one-time funds being extended, as well as staffing adjustments. Let's take us to the fund balance. We'll see where deficit spending in years two and three as well. And as mentioned earlier, the district will be proactive in reducing excess spending these impact student learning. And then components of the ending fund balance. Restricted funds are being used for their one-time funds. It's for earmarked versus the program. Committed funds are being used for the district-wide capital projects, mandate cost funds, technology, textbooks, and unfunded liabilities. Committed funds reduce in the sum in year two, and we have a signed amount of $518,000 in year two. That's going to be for the final second payment of the CSEA education. And economic uncertainties, we're maintaining a 3% reserve as required by law. And the reserve percentages are 5.04 for 2026-27 and 4.84 for 2027-28. This is our multi-year projection. As required by California Education Code and Orange County Department of Ed, the following verbiage needs to be part of our budget recommendation. And the emphasis to maintain fiscal solvency. We will self-certify positive, as we have demonstrated that we can meet our obligations in the current year as well as the two subsequent. In closing, we'll be mindful of a few things. We will continue to monitor enrollment in ADA. This current year is the first year of the attendance recovery program, so we'll monitor to see how that impacts our ADA and then make adjustments for next year, as we can keep fit for our district. We will tighten our belts a little bit and continue to be proactive and ensure that as a district that we are fiscally solvent. We are planning for increases to health and welfare costs, but the new rates will not be released until August. And lastly, we'll see what the governor will be presenting at his May revised budget. This is his last one. I'm eagerly waiting to hear how COLA lands, and also to hear how a few proposed programs are going to come about, such as another one-time discretionary grant, Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant. They gave us an allocation back in 2022, and then they reduced it by a little over $2 million. So we need to hear if we're going to get all of that back, and then we got an allocation this year, and we're supposed to get more allocations in the next 2 years to backfill for what they do. Another round of kitchen infrastructure and training funds, kit funds. There's going to be another round. We would like to apply for that. We had used that for the kitchen at Smith and Huntington Beach. It's supposed to be increased to California Community Schools Partnership Program, CCSP. Currently, Westminster High School has that grant, and so hopefully that will be available for more students to apply. And first, I'm waiting to see about the increases, the special ed based rates to $999 per ADA. Hopefully, that works out. And of course, there's going to be supposed to be increases to home to school transportation. I'd like to close by thanking everyone in the business team, including Mr. Rofia and Mark Hansberg and John Chu, for all their hard work, their contributions to the district and as well as the national report. HR and Ed Services have been excellent partners as well. And Dr. thank you for your continued support and your leadership. Thank you again, Dr. Castro, and trustees for allowing me time to tonight. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mrs. Green. I'm sure we usually do. Yes, Dr. Bishop.
I have one. I think it's probably too early, but I'm wondering if at what point in time in the budget calendar year do we begin to hear about how personal income taxes are coming into the state? And the reason I ask that question is because the webinar that I attended about a month ago, Capital Advisors, they were so adamant they had been underestimated, and that both the governor and the legislative analyst had underestimated revenues significantly. I'm just wondering, have we heard anything?
I haven't heard too much yet, but we're going to start to hear a lot about it. A lot of it around the AI bubble. And so there's a lot of concerns about really going to sustain. And again, you know, with the LAO's, the suggestion is like, careful with that. It slips. It'd be a lot of money. It's reduced.
I just had comments for Dr. Dishno on. I went to a financial workshop just this last week, and there's differing opinions on the AI bubble and if there is actually a bubble. Partly because a lot of people compare the AI bubble to the software bubble, whereas the software bubble did burst, and the downside of that was because there was a lot of money loaned to put into software, whereas AI, the big companies are footing the bill. NVIDIA and the other ones are. So there's not the speculation aspect to it, but the bigger problem is that last year's GDP, 90% of the increase to GDP last year was AI. And so that meant that the GDP was flat. So it's an interesting conundrum as to where that's going to go. But I think it really, the question I'd like answered is, if the governor is wrong and the LAO is wrong, what is the right number, and who knows what it is, because obviously everybody's pointing fingers at each other. So I think only time will tell, and we'll just have to wait and see. But I don't think that the success or failure of AI is necessarily going to be the real difficulty for us. For us, I think it's declining enrollment. And so AI can do what it wants and will. So and we don't have much control over it, just speculation. But those companies are going to put that money in. The energy factor behind AI is yet another problem. And although from historically these, I don't even want to get into the geopolitical component, but the economics as far as the stock market is not going to have much for what's happening recently, but gas prices and jet fuel are certainly going to skyrocket. So those are other issues.
Dr. Fitzgerald, I'd like to mention, too, that Capital Advisors is having a workshop for information. It's supposed to be this Thursday, but it got rescheduled to Thursday. So it'll be interesting to hear what Kevin Gordon and his group to say, because apparently there was some update. I'm a little, I don't know, excited or something to hear about what's happening. Yeah. Well, it's next Thursday.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
To that point, so that PCA event I attended, it was getting each talking head at different points in time on the budget, so I did hear from Kevin Gordon about that. He probably had the least amount of doom and gloom, which makes me a little uneasy, just Mm-hmm. I never want to get that excited about the budget because I still think our California budgeting system is in a very precarious position. And that also included CSBA giving their perspective to parents as well and communicating that, and LAL as well, plus and a representative from the IS. I'm curious, especially, and I know Tracy can answer this, and so I just want to thank you for being so on it about what these changes look like, because I mean, if you're relying on 20 people with their personal income tax in this state for a huge chunk, it does put us in a position, and so I know that you're watchfully looking at all the trends and making sure that we're reducing our spending when we can.
And you had mentioned earlier about the Prop 98 maneuver, mm-hmm. but then there's also now the Prop 98 Settle up,
which is not a settle up.
Right. No, it's governor's mm-hmm. way of deferring what you should be funding schools into the out years
yeah.
without suspending Prop 98. So it could essentially reducing our future dollars.
Mm-hmm.
For, that's what I've kind of watched into.
Yeah. To our OTA.
I suspect CSBA is watching that.
Yeah, I find it interesting that Kevin Gordon has delayed his presentation by a week, and the fact that there's maybe an announcement, because CSBA always does legislative action days on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of March. And so now Kevin Gordon's having his thing on the 19th of March. So, it's an interesting, because right now our mantra is the third Prop 98 maneuver and then this settle-up thing. That's
not a
settle-up. And so we have all our talking points already, and we're all, you know, ready to go call all our legislators, and then, oh, wait, there's a special announcement. So
we'll see what next week brings.
I'm skeptical. So.
Next week's going to be fun for sure.
No. I have one other, if I may. I noticed in your report, I was looking at the declining enrollment, which is also a great concern. Looking at this year, next year, and the projection for next year and the following year, that's a big number. I'm wondering, have our demographers, have they projected when they think declining enrollment might begin to taper off?
I can double check again. They just released their newest one that I got. And so they give us.
It can't go on forever.
It's going to taper off, but I think that target keeps moving. Every time I think we're going to hit it, it moves out a little bit.
Thank you.
But I can get you more information.
In fact, we really see that in our feeder schools and how they're tapering off. I just have one question, and that is, how have we been working with our schools in terms of both spending down our reserves? Which, I mean, this board's always very careful about our reserves and making sure that we have them. How are we working with our schools in a positive way so that they really understand what's happening here? Because they're busy teaching kids and running schools, not looking at the budget every day.
I think there's been a lot more education around the different types of funding. There's categorical funds. And then there's general funds, and so I think with our principals, I mean, just from my time here and working with them over the last few years, I think they understand so much more now and how to use surplus strategically, you know, and so we always try to do that, but, you know, without taking away or having such an impact to students. So we're always looking at budgets. We meet with Amy Herrera and I meet with the school's principals and their admin team pretty regularly. So we talk about staffing and how they can staff, whether it's faculty funded or not. And so we really try to use the one-time dollars that we get, categorical funds, really to our advantage.
And since she snuck back into the room, let me just say that Kayla's been all over the place with her staff, making sure that we are encouraging as many students to come to our schools as we can. We are probably encouraging another district
we're really just doing just such a great job, and I know you're working with John on that as well in terms of what our numbers look like and how important it is to increase our student attendance in every one of our specialized programs. And also we work more with a lot of our student numbers. Like I said, it's really between Ed Services, HR, we've really been working a lot more collaboratively, and so I've been really enjoying it.
Yes, the whole team is really working well together under Dr. Ogata, which is really
wonderful. Derek, thank you. I didn't mean to leave you out of the equation. We know numbers are important. Even though you keep sending me these emails that say our system's down, it's like, what's going on? But aside from that, thanks for all that you do as well. But really, I think our team is working together as a full-fledged team to make sure that everybody in the district's understanding what's happening. So thank you for your leadership, and thank you for your leadership on the budget. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. We then are at the consent calendar. Does anyone wish to pull anything from the consent calendar?
Did you skip an item?
Oh, did I? I probably did.
Certification. Top of page four.
Top of page four. Thank you very much. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
The second interim financial statement for the fiscal year 25-26 is presented. It's recommended that the board president certify that this district will meet its financial obligations for the current year and the two subsequent years. And we saw that on the slide that we can do that. So please vote that I can certify this. Motion's been made by Dr. Dishno, seconded by Ms. Hernandez. That's a 5-0 vote. Thank you very much. Yes, that law has actually helped to keep people from going upside down, even though some of our fellow districts are still struggling. 1490D has really helped us. Okay, in terms of now the consent calendar, does anyone wish to pull anything? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept it? Mrs. Henry, seconded by Ms. Hernandez. Please vote. And then finally, the policy discussion. In review tonight is board policy 1312.3, which is community relations. We've had this policy a couple of times in advance and last weekend. And board policy 1445. Does anyone wish to discuss any part of either one of those board policies?
I just want to make a note and also ask a question for Dr. Ogata. In looking at BP 1445, the Community Relations Response Immigration Enforcement, I know some of the language says, for our language, for Fountain Valley School District, and I want to say Westminster School District, it should or shall. And then Ocean View School District was a must in terms of the training of the staff. What would it look like putting this policy into practice?
For sure. Thank you. I think that it's one thing that we must train all employees on this new legislation. Well, it's not new, but the ongoing legislation. And so we will do this school by school and make sure that the Office of Human Resources does train every new employee, because we do have new employees that enter our system all the time, but making sure that the training is effective and it's long-lasting and folks understand how to make sure that our students and community are safe.
I think that'll be helpful, especially to make sure our new staff are compliant, because always any time that policy gets put in place, we have folks here within 2 years from now, how do we make sure that they don't
that the motion is for the first reading and to place on the next agenda for second reading.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Henry, and seconded by Dr. Dishno. So we'll see this next time. All in favor, please vote. And vote even if you're not. Sorry, I still want to. I'm old fashioned. Okay, we now have signing of documents and new business. So new business, Mrs. Henry?
No new business, thank you.
recommended.
Any other?
Dr. Dishnow?
Nothing.
Nothing for me.
Okay, I just have a couple of things and then I'll go to our staff. April 18th is the 100th anniversary for the celebration of the building in 1926 of the gorgeous auditorium at Huntington Beach High School. The tickets for that start at $50. I'd really urge everybody to attend. It's a fundraiser because we want to raise money for the building as well as for the arts programs that are held there. There are going to be at least two beautiful plaques. One is for Joe Batte, and it's going to be put forth at the intermission just before we go in. It's done by centuries, so I'm not necessarily not by centuries, by decades. So 1920, 1930, 40, 50, and on through. And the different arts programs, including arts programs, the Food and Love program at OCCC, are going to be doing very specific performances all the way through. So it'll be both our students from our various campuses, as well as students that hopefully will be coming to the district soon. At intermission, we're going to be unveiling the plaque for the day, which is going to be placed in the lobby. You know how the one big pillar has Daryl Spielberg on it. The other pillar, right across, is going to have the plaque for Joe Batte. I think they show it from the stage first, and then it'll go up after that. The other lobby, the other plaque is for the 100th anniversary. You'll recall that when you go into the auditorium, when you're facing the auditorium on the left hand side is the plaque that was done with the historical monument, which we did in about 1980. And the other side, and this one we have the plaque with the superintendent and the board of trustees. But I don't know if that one will be hanging at that time or if it will be coming off that time. But anyway, that's where all of that's going. So please, 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 we really need to fill every chair because it's going to be a great fundraiser. And it is online. And the other thing that's really fun to announce is that just this afternoon, did you say at 3:23?
Yes.
We got word from the California Department of Education that, in fact, in 2026, California will change its school. So, welcome. It's been a long time since we've had an announcement for the school. And we've been doing such a great job with all of our students here. That's good. So we'll probably have an early morning 7:30 call just because we're going to have that. Do you have any more business questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. Dr. Dan. Okay. Mr. Green?
No, thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Murray. I think that that's all that we have then, except the signing of documents. The next regular board meeting is April 21st, and then after that, May 12th. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Tonight, the board needs to sign documents.